Just off the coast of Peru, there's a huge amount of sea life. There are whales, a robust fishing industry, and a strange gentle creature the size of a car called the giant manta ray. It sails through the water on big floppy wings, scooping up tiny sea life as it travels. And, perhaps not surprisingly, it needs protection. A new film follows the champion of the giant manta ray, a Peruvian marine scientist named Kirsten Forsberg. There's a free screening of the film and a Q&A with Forsberg at the New England Aquarium's IMAX Theater on Wednesday, September 26th. Living Lab Radio's producer Elsa Partan spoke with Kirsten Forsberg in Peru via Skype.
Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Hi, Elsa. Thank you very much for having me today.
The film is beautiful to watch because we're often underwater swimming with the giant manta rays, or we're on the beach looking at the coast of Peru. What is it like to swim with these creatures?
Wow, mantas are really magical. First of all, they're completely harmless. So you can approach them. Obviously, you have to maintain a distance, but you can approach them. They're really curious. It's really a once-in-a-lifetime experience for tourists that come to visit them. You can see them, if you're lucky, jumping out of the water. They kind of glide, so they're so huge. They can reach 7 to 8 meters from wingtip to wingtip. But it seems as if they're just like gliding and just like swimming so softly across the water.
The story has beautiful scenery along the coast, but it's not set in a wealthy place. How do people make a living here?
So basically, we work in low-income fishing communities. I run a nonprofit called Planeta Oceano, or Planet Ocean. And we work with fishing communities to engage them in marine conservation. And most of these communities are indeed communities run by small-scale fishermen, and they're impoverished, low-income communities. So having, you know, resources such as giant manta rays can provide valuable opportunities for tourism, for development, and that's what we're working with communities.
So it's illegal to fish for giant manta rays in Peru. They're protected by law, but they can still get tangled in fishing gear. That's something that we see up here in New England, too, only with whales. Do you have a sense of how much of a threat that is?
Bycatch is a big issue, not only for or incidental capture. It's a big issue, not just for giant manta rays, but for loads of species. And as you mentioned, in New England and Peru, all over the world, it's a real big issue that fisheries face, both small scale and industrial fisheries. In terms of the giant manta ray, well, it was legal to capture it before in Peru. So basically, we started working with giant mantas in 2012. And at that time, manta rays were still being intentionally caught as well as incidentally caught. So that's what we worked with the local government in order to ensure legal protection for this species. But our next step right now is exactly that. It's really trying to avoid mantas from getting tangled. And in case they do get entangled, ensuring that we empower the fishermen so that they release the incidentally entangled manta rays. But bycatch is a tremendous issue worldwide, and it's one of the causes of threats to different populations and different species.
In the film, a female giant manta ray washes up on the shore after it drowns in a fishing net. It's so big that a pickup truck has trouble pulling it up onto the beach for study. But your team does get it up on the beach, and you dissect it, and you find what looks like a fully formed baby manta ray inside, ready to be born. Let's listen to the tape.
Bueno, si en caso fuera más de una, que en teoría debería ser una. Sí es, sí es. Oh my God, oh my God. I just feel really, really sad right now. Extremely sad. Manta rays take very long to reproduce. You can be talking about a manta that takes up to 7 to 10 years to reproduce, has one pup each 2 to 7 years. So you know how much energy that manta invested, how much time that passed for that manta to have that pup. And it's gone now.
So that is a hard moment.
Indeed. It was a really hard moment for all of us.
But you didn't let it stop you. You actually visit the fisherman who accidentally caught the ray, and you brainstorm ideas with him. What were some of the ideas that came up?
So actually, some of the ideas that came up with the fishermen are things that we're implementing right now. Everybody loses with these interactions. Obviously, we lose manta rays, but fishermen, and these are impoverished fishermen again, lose their nets, lose part of their income for that day. And so we try to have to find solutions in which we can benefit everybody, in which we can benefit the manta rays, but also the fishermen. So one of the initiatives that we are working on right now and actually came from that day was we are developing a large workshop where we're going to bring together authorities and scientists and fishermen to brainstorm ideas on how to reduce that interaction. And one of these ideas could be something that the fishermen proposed, which is to have a sort of scheme in which fishermen are able to regain new nets from a collaboration with the government in case they release the manta rays. Because the manta rays many times will get entangled in the nets, and then fishermen will bring them back because they just don't want to lose any fish for the day. So they want to at least have that manta ray meat, or they want to, they don't want to cut their net out in the open ocean because that would mean losing their net. So some of these conversations came up with the fishermen that day. But one of the things that I highlight from that experience is that it's really important in all of these human wildlife conflicts and challenges that we face in conservation that there are no villains or people doing bad things necessarily. Sometimes it's just a matter of engaging the people that don't have the knowledge in conservation to join conservation efforts. So that was our approach really with this fisherman, not blaming him necessarily for targeting the manta ray, but rather thinking with him what we could do to avoid those things happening once again.
Kirsten, you're in Peru right now, but you're actually traveling up to Boston this week, and you're going to be talking with people about the film.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I will be responding to questions and in a Q&A session after the film, directly after the film. I'm really excited to be able to go to the Nyungman Aquarium. The aquarium is very special to me and to my organization, Benito Sano. They have supported several of our projects, and I'm a fellow of the Marine Conservation Action Fund of the aquarium as well.
The film is Kirsten and the Giant Manta Rays, and you can see it for free Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening at the New England Aquarium IMAX Theater. Kirsten Forsberg will be there to answer questions after the film. Kirsten, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Elsa, and I look forward to seeing people there.
That was Living Lab Radio's Elsa Partian speaking with Kirsten Forsberg. And that's our show for this week. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.